Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and you can find me on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro. Mike Tagliere is not in today. He'll be back for tomorrow's show. So we've got two guests today. We're going to start out with James Coe, who is all over the place, a next generation stats analyst, DirecTV, writer for Yahoo Sports, broadcaster for EA, Madden, NFL, and of course the former four-time Emmy Award winner with the NFL Network, James Coe, and he's on Twitter at James D. Coe. And then later on the show, we're going to have Jared Smola as well. And today we're going to be talking about players you'll regret drafting at their ADP. With James, we're going to talk running backs and quarterbacks. And then with Jared, we're going to be talking wide receivers and then tight ends. Right off the bat, I just want to say thanks to CBS Sports HQ for supporting the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. CBS Sports HQ is a network that streams 24/7 and brings you top-tier sports and fantasy coverage. To watch anytime from anywhere, download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. James, we really appreciate you coming on the show. How's it going?
It's going well, man. We're entering the crazy period right now. I mean, more than when the regular season starts, it's almost this build-up time, the few weeks before the season starts, where fantasy analysts kind of make their hay. So, yeah, man, it's absolutely bananas right now.
Yeah, it's bananas. It's a total blast, though. You know, I just read one of your articles on Yahoo Sports where you were talking about zero running back and how you've never really done it before, but this year it makes a lot of sense. And you know what? I hadn't really considered it much before that. And then we did a mock draft here on the show, and I applied kind of a little bit zero running back. I didn't take my first one until round 4 or 5, which is not exactly zero running back, but it worked out really well. You're right. There's a lot of running back value later, and the wide receivers get thin quick.
Yeah, and you know, it all depends on the setup too, right? Because I play in leagues where so much of the setups are three wide receivers, which adds even more value to wide receivers. So yeah, to me, I'm really all about that zero RB life right now, because I just think, and this was the crux of my argument, the thirst for running backs is real this year. I mean, people are, it's like, it feels like the early 2000s all over again. People are just crawling all over themselves to get running backs. And meanwhile, I just kind of look at later in the draft and there's a bunch that I like, and there's not really that many wide receivers I really love late. So I'm trying to employ zero RB as much as possible in my various drafts this upcoming season.
Yeah, once you get outside the top 30, 32 wide receivers, it's really ugly. Meanwhile, you can get Latavius Murray in the 7th, 8th round, James White in the 6th. PPR, James White's going in the 5th, but Sony Michel in the 5th. Chris Carson in the 4th. There are a ton of running backs. David Montgomery's going late. Miles Sanders, if you're a Miles Sanders guy. So you'll be able to find value there. Meanwhile, you've got questions about Saquon Barkley in this offensive line, touchdown regression, how many carries he's actually going to get. Alvin Kamara still going up against Latavius Murray, touchdown regression there as well. Christian McCaffrey, they say they're going to cut his workload. Ezekiel Elliott's holding out. David Johnson behind the horrible offensive line. Le'Veon Bell going to Adam Gase's offense. Nobody in the first round is a lock. So Yeah, it's really interesting. And today we're going to be talking, like I said, about running backs that you might regret drafting at their ADP. So for those of you listening at home who are a little bit newer to fantasy football, ADP stands for average draft position. You can follow along just by going to fantasypros.com/rankings. It's ADPs listed. It's a consensus ADP across several sites to tell you where these guys are being drafted. And so we're going to start at the running back position. James, after that, we're going to go quarterback as well. And then for our second guest, we're going to have wide receivers and tight ends. So James, why don't you start us off? Who's a running back that you think is just being drafted way too high?
It's going to sound like a little bit of a hot take, but honestly, Saquon Barkley at 1.1 to me feels too high. And again, I'm not saying I'm pushing him outside my top 20 or something crazy like that. He's not going to be a player I ever draft because he's going to be gone with the first two picks in 99% of drafts, right?
Sure. So you've got him 1-3, or are you taking wide receivers over him?
I'm taking wide receivers over him. I've got Nuke and Davante Adams ahead of Saquon Barkley, and a lot of it has to go with just elevated risk, right? So I'm not saying he's outside my top 10. I probably have him at, I haven't done my official rankings, but you know, I have him in that, you know, 1.7, 7 or 8 range, right? So, which I feel like is a fair price for him because, again, he's playing in an offense that might be one of the worst in the NFL. No Odell Beckham Jr. Safeties are going to creep towards the line of scrimmage. And it just feels like an offense that is absolutely going nowhere. I've got one interesting stat, right, via Next Gen Stats, which is Saquon Barkley averaged 2.5 yards per carry versus loaded boxes last year. That was 44th out of 47 qualified running backs. That's not good. But at the same time, he saw loaded boxes on about 23% of his carries, which is actually about league average. So now no Odell Beckham Jr. I'll ask you, Bobby, what are safeties going to do against the Giants, against a quarterback in Eli Manning that can't get the ball out deep? I mean, I just think they're going to crowd the line over and over and over again. I think he's going to see loaded boxes closer to 40%. He might be the league leader in terms of loaded boxes in 2019. And if that's the case, and if he's a player that struggles against loaded boxes, it just feels like Todd Gurley 2016 all over again. I don't know, man. So again, I don't have him outside my top 10, but 1.1 or 1.2, that's a no-go for me.
I've said this before, you can be as talented as Todd Gurley, and if you're in the wrong scheme, behind the wrong offensive line, you're going to look crummy because coaching schemes matter more than running back talent. We all know Todd Gurley is an absolute superstar when he's healthy, but he played 16 games, had 885 rushing yards for 6 touchdowns. He was the RB20 that season in 2016. And then, of course, he was fantasy MVP 2 straight seasons after they changed the scheme, updated the offensive line. You know, they were only stacking the box against the Rams a league low. I believe it was 16% of the time, which is absolutely nuts. The same thing can happen to Barkley. I think Barkley's more talented than Gurley, and that may seem like a hot take, but you're right, James. I haven't heard anybody else saying this. It makes a little bit of sense. I think there's quite a bit of risk. I don't know. I mean, he had 350 touches last year, so how bad can it really be? I guess I can't blame you for drafting wide receivers after him. I just feel like the difference between picks 1 and 2, I've got Kamara McCaffrey there, and then 3, 4, 5. I think Barkley's closer to that David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott's here for me, so... And this is really interesting. I'm glad we had that perspective on here because our listeners haven't heard anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, the anticipated volume, and I agree with that. He's going to see a lot of work, but, you know, again, and you got to love the fact that they added Kevin Zeitler along the offensive line too. But again, how are you going to defend this team? You would be absolutely moronic to defend this team cover 2, cover 3. It doesn't make any sense to me. They don't have wide receivers. I'll give you another, you know, stat in terms of Evan Ingram. He was the, in terms of air yards per target, he was the lowest among all tight ends. He was, I think, the third or fourth lowest in the league, period, among qualified pass catchers. So he's not a player that has attacked the deep seam in his career. I know he seems like he should be that guy, but in terms of if you're looking at just the overall numbers, he's not that guy. He's actually a shallow route runner. And again, it just goes back to the scheme. It goes back to the players. You know, defenses, I think, would just be absolutely insane to try to defend the Giants with a cover two or cover three. I just feel like there's going to be eight guys in the box all day long, and they're going to dare the Giants to go over the top, and I don't think they've got the personnel to do it.
Yeah, Tags has talked about this before on the show that, you know, there's kind of a ceiling of how many targets a tight end plus a running back can have. And when Evan Ingram comes back, I think that's going to take away some of Barkley's targets as well. I would agree with you on that. Now, I'm drafting Barkley probably at 1-3 still, but I can understand what you're saying. Let's stick in New York for my first one. It's Le'Veon Bell. A lot of people who have listened to the show aren't surprised that I'm saying this. Right now, he's going 7th overall in ADP, running back 6, just behind David Johnson, sandwiched between Johnson, James Conner, and Todd Gurley. I wouldn't take Le'Veon Bell until my 11th running back, I believe, is where I have him in my rankings, maybe 10th. Now, the thing is, Le'Veon Bell is very talented. This has nothing to do with his talent. We just talked about Todd Gurley struggling in 2016. David Johnson struggling in 2018, right? And Le'Veon Bell is now going to the Jets. And I won't say they're the worst offensive line in football, but I do have them in my bottom five. And he's also got Adam Gase. Adam Gase, when he's in Miami, ran 56.4 plays per game over the last 3 years. In Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell's teams ran 115 more plays per season than Miami Dolphins did. So basically that caps Le'Veon Bell at 14 games worth of snaps. And I understand Le'Veon Bell is going to be, you know, efficient in the receiving game, assuming that he really is as in good a shape as they say that he is. But 14 games worth of snaps, that's not enough to warrant a top 7 pick to me behind this offensive line.
I would tend to agree. You know, I and again, this goes back to my whole zero RB thing is just give me all those receivers that are going in that same price range. You know, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, those are all guys who you could have instead of Le'Veon Bell. I totally agree with that. I like parts of the Jets offense, but I don't really like Adam Gase for the reasons you mentioned. He just slows it down. And the part that I'm also concerned about with Le'Veon Bell too is Gase has had a quick trigger to put people in the doghouse, and I don't believe Le'Veon Bell's his quote-unquote his guy, right? So,
well, he said he didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell. He already told us that.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some red flags there. Again, I'm not pushing him outside my top 20, you know, but yeah, outside my top 10, 100% for sure.
You're a Los Angeles guy, right? Would you take Todd Gurley over Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think I would just because of the knee issue. And plus, they've got a really capable running back in Daryl Henderson. I really like him out of Memphis. And Le'Veon Bell, I don't necessarily know if he has competition, or at least stout competition for additional touches.
There's people excited about Ty Montgomery, but he's not going to compete with Le'Veon Bell like Daryl Henderson might.
I don't think he would, yeah. But man, you know, the thing about Lev too, it's like we haven't seen him play in over a year. What is he going to look like, you know? So, I don't know. I'm with you. I tend to shy away from Lev Bell in most formats.
All right, guys, we're going to get to James' second one here in just a moment. But first, I want to say congratulations to Chris from Kansas, who won the signed George Kittle helmet giveaway. And that came to us from pristineauction.com. If you guys haven't checked out Pristine Auction, you are going to absolutely love it. I've already got my bids on a lot of auctions today because this is when they do their weekly auction. There are over 1,000 auctions that are going to be won this evening. And everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. I'm guaranteed to get a great value because with over 1,000 auctions up for bid, there's always going to be great values. Check it out at PristineAuction.com, PRISTINE auction.com. And when you sign up, it's free to sign up, by the way. Enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. You're going to get $5 off, and it tells Pristine Auction that we're sending you their way. That way, we'll continue to do contests like the George Kittle helmet giveaway we just had, along with the next one we have in store for you. You're going to love it, guys. It's a signed Alvin Kamara helmet, courtesy of Pristine Auction. Entering is simple, and it can be done in a couple minutes. Just head on over to FANTASYPROS.com/contest for more details. So why don't you give us your second one?
You know, I'm kind of also looking at Joe Mixon in the second round. We've seen his value fall over the last month. I think he's down nearly half a round over the last month on Fantasy Football Calculator. And I think that makes sense.
Not far enough.
Yeah, not far enough to me. I mean, you look at the overall numbers from 2018, you say, oh man, this guy was really good. You know, averaged nearly 5 yards a carry, 1,500 scrimmage yards, 9 touchdowns. He's going to be a focal point of this offense. And again, I'm harping on guys that are playing on bad offenses. And to me, Joe Mixon might be playing in, again, a bottom five offense in the NFL.
I think there's some upside with Zach Taylor, but this offensive line is horrendous. I mean, two guys retire and one out for the season already.
That's exactly right. Jonah Williams missing the entire season. As you mentioned, a couple guys going into retirement as well. AJ Green is going to miss multiple games. And to be honest with you, just with his injury history, you know, all of it in the lower leg area, foot and now ankle problems, that to me screams like a guy that he's going to miss multiple games to start the season. We already know that. I would actually be surprised if he sees 10 games this year. Right. So that offense with no AJ Green again, and we're also, I think we're just tending to write off Gio Bernard as if he doesn't exist, but.
And they drafted two running backs, Rodney Anderson and Travion Williams.
That's right. Travion Williams can ball. That kid can play. And I just wonder how much Zach Taylor is going to mix it in with some of these other guys. But overall, the offensive line is trash. The offense is looking pretty bleak. I just hate his setup. I absolutely hate his setup. And to me, a mid-second round price, when you're looking at guys like Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, give me all those guys ahead of Joe Mixon. If he falls into that third round category, okay, fine. But as he is right now, mid-second rounder, there's probably 10 other guys I would rather have ahead of Joe Mixon.
Man, it's really funny that you're saying this. I've actually got Joe Mixon lower than you do. I would take Chris Carson and Sony Michel ahead of him, too. I'm down on Joe Mixon. Like, his floor is fine because we know he's going to get the touches. He can play in three downs. He can be a three-down workhorse. He's going to be game script proof. I've got Joe Mixon as my number 31 overall player behind the likes of Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks. I've already mentioned Chris Carson and Sony Michel, so I'm not going to have any Mixon. I don't blame you guys if you do, but his ADP, I think it's just too high.
I agree with that. And plus those tight ends, too. Give me George Kittle. Give me Zach Ertz. I'd rather have that really safe floor tight end ahead of a running back who I think is playing, again, in just a horrible, horrible setup.
I think I'd wait a little bit longer and get that next tier OJ Howard and Hunter Henry, but I can't blame you for wanting to get one of the top six tight ends before it just turns disastrous. Now, I was going to mention, since Tag's not on the show, and a lot of you guys really want to know what his advice is, like, Tag's is the GOAT, let's be honest, okay? Tag's would have had Joe Mixon number one without a doubt. His number two would have been Jordan Howard. His number three would have been Kareem Hunt. I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, but you guys can ask Tags. I guarantee he would have said those three. My number two, and I agree with all those names, by the way. Jordan Howard, I think, is going to be behind Miles Sanders. It's a split backfield because it's Doug Peterson. You can say Miles Sanders is going to carry the whole load, but Doug Peterson never does that. And then Kareem Hunt's not even playing until week 9, and he's got Nick Chubb ahead of him. We already talked about Mixon. My number two is Kerryon Johnson, and this has kind of become just all of a sudden, his ADP has come up to RB14, overall 25. Like a month ago, it was sitting, he was RB20 or something along those lines. And now Detroit's not even using him in third downs. Their last preseason game, he didn't play one third down snap in three series. They were putting CJ Anderson and the rookie Ty Johnson, they were putting him in instead of Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson himself has said he's not a three down back. And yet everyone's pretending that he's going to be. I'm not seeing at RB14, guys. Like, sure, he's going to have a better season than he did last year, but there's a handful of running backs I'd rather take ahead of him at that spot.
Not only that, I mean, is Detroit's offense going to be any good? I mean, Matt Patricia, to me...
No chance.
I mean, they got all the weapons, but they're doing this weird Frankenstein thing where, like, most of their talent is actually on the passing side, but for some reason, they just want to play defense and run the ball, even though they can't run the ball.
And by the way, did you guys know that Matthew Stafford had fewer fantasy points last year than Eli Manning and Derek Carr and Case Keenum?
Wow.
Yeah, that's bad. It's really bad, James.
it's not talent, right? To me, it's coaching.
Yeah, it's a scheme.
I think Matt Patricia is just a bloody... he had a bloody awful first season. They want to transition. Again, this is the funny thing. Their previous regime, they went 9-7, 9-7. They had a better defense under the previous regime. They had a better offense under the previous regime. They ran the ball better under the previous... They want to play defense. They can't play defense. They want to run the ball. They can't run the ball. And they refuse to throw it, too. So I just... To me, this team is just a disaster from the top down. And I agree with you. Kerryon Johnson with CJ Anderson lurking for goal line looks. Ty Johnson ran a 4.26 40. This kid can fly.
Holy cow.
Yes, he can fly. Ty Johnson is a special teamer, but also will mix in on third downs too. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand the ADP right now for Kerryon Johnson. I would absolutely take him about maybe 12 to 15 picks lower than he's going right now.
You know, everyone's talking about the Dolphins, the Raiders, Washington, Cincinnati Bengals, the Giants in contention for that number one pick, and probably going to be Tua or Justin Herbert, who I like a little bit more out of Oregon. But I think the Lions are going to be in the running because they have the toughest division in all of football. I mean, the Packers, Vikings, and Bears could all legitimately win the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously not all of them will win the Super Bowl, but I'm saying all three of them have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And then you've got the Lions.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the division by far. And you're right. I think all of those teams that you listed have 12-win potential, even the Vikings. Even the Vikings, they brought in Gary Kubiak, and you know what he can do to the run game. They're going to do a lot more play action. I think the Vikings have the pieces on defense to be a really well-balanced team too. So yeah, I think everyone in the North has 12-win potential. Not saying that they'll get there, but they've got 12-win talent on their rosters, except for the Detroit Lions. I think we're looking at a team that could win 4 or 5 games maybe next year.
All right, James, so who do you have as your number three running back to avoid at ADP?
It kills me to say this, but I feel like Miles Sanders right now is being drafted at his absolute peak.
Tags would fight you if he was on the show, but James, I'm with you again. We're just right next to each other on all these opinions.
I just think Miles Sanders going the late 5th, early 6th, you're drafting him like he's going to actually do what we're all anticipating him to do. I mean, everything has to break right for him to kind of return value on that. You mentioned it a little bit before, but they have such a crowded running back room. They signed Jordan Howard. They brought back Darren Sproles. Wendell Smallwood is still there. Corey Clement is still coming back from injury, but he's still there. Josh Adams led the team in rushes and rushing yards last year. And you mentioned the pattern with Doug Peterson. He hasn't had a running back have 200 or more carries since Jamal Charles did it in 2014.
Wow. Yeah, only Darren Sproles has ever played more than 32% of the Eagles' backfield snaps in a season since Peterson took over. 32%.
So I love Miles Sanders. I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. He can run it between the tackles. He can run it outside. And yeah, he's a really talented pass catcher. I think he's, other than Darren Sproles, their best pass catcher out of the backfield by far. So yeah, he has the skill set to certainly put it on people. But will he get, you know, more than 200 touches in 2019? I just don't know. And my guess would be that he doesn't. So now we're talking about limited touches in what is a great offense. That part is nice. You know, it's a great offense, but again, just his overall usage in that offense, I have my concerns. And drafting him at that price, there's not that much upside and there's only a lot of downside. So he's kind of sort of my lukewarm pick for being kind of overdrafted, overpriced right now. I love the talent, love the offense, and I love his skill set in that offense too, but just too many running backs, and we know about Doug Peterson's history.
I'll say this, he was my favorite running back in the rookie class. If he would have ended up with Houston or Indianapolis, maybe they want to move on from Marlon Mack. Oh, I would have loved Miles Sanders.
Loved it, yep.
And it's a great offensive line, and it's a good offense. But if he's only playing 30% of the snaps, let's say Doug Peterson adjusts and he plays 40% of the snaps. That's not good enough, guys. He's going to be like Isaiah Crowell in the early season, right, before he really lost his job, where he's got two huge weeks and everyone gets super pumped, and then he's putting out 12 carries for 35 yards and no touchdowns, and everyone's like, wait a second, this isn't the same guy. I'm sorry, guys. I think that's who Miles Sanders is. I agree with you. I've got him quite a bit lower than his ADP right now. And I mean, I guess there is upside, but it's like a 10-15 percentile thing, not like a, you know, 50% chance he booms, 50% chance he busts. I think it's more than likely that he plays below his ADP.
I would agree with that. And then on top of that, I'm looking at other guys in his range, right? Tariq Cohen is somebody that I would 100% rather have over Miles Sanders. We know he's going to get, you know, 50 to 60 receptions. That's huge in PPR. I think Austin Eckler is in that same range right now too. And I do think that he's a little bit overpriced, but we know he has standalone value. And if Melvin Gordon missed time, that's a great pick. So I think Austin Eckler in that range, I would also rather have over Miles Sanders. It's two guys that we know are going to get pass catching work and just more guaranteed work overall. I just don't think the running back room in either Chicago or LA for the Chargers is nearly as crowded as it is in Philadelphia.
I agree with everything you said. I want to throw in two more names, James White and Latavius Murray. I would definitely take over Miles Sanders as well. I've got him as my RB31 right now. All right, my last running back, and then we'll touch on quarterback really quick, is Derrick Henry. And look, it's not that I don't think Derrick Henry is one of the most talented running backs in the NFL, like in terms of pure runners, but he's not going to catch the ball whatsoever. Dan Lewis isn't going away. Derrick Henry has 13, 11, and 15 receptions in his last 3 years, and that's just not going to cut it, especially considering they completely take him out of the game when they're playing from behind and on third downs. He's never going to see the field. And they're the worst team in this division in my mind. I think you've got Indianapolis, Houston. You can flip those two depending on what happens with Andrew Luck. And then Jacksonville's number three. I've got Tennessee number four. I don't think the game scripts will be in their favor. And we've seen Derrick Henry just completely disappear from games. I think that's going to happen more often than we've seen in the past. And yeah, he's going to have some big games here and there. But let's not forget he's already dealing with a strained calf. Now, he is back in practice, but when you've got someone in the preseason dealing with one of these soft tissue injuries, I try to avoid them, and especially when his ADP is what it is, and he's so reliant on game script. So I can't do it. I've got him as my RB25 right now. Is this the first one where we really disagree here, James?
Yeah, a bit, you know, just because, again, at cost, he's going, what, somewhere in the fourth round, right? So early to mid fourth round.
On Yahoo, he's going RB15 right now.
Okay, that's a bit rich for my blood. But, I mean, you look at some of the running backs that are in that price range too. Marlon Mack, Mark Ingram, you know, Chris Carson, you know, just depends on what you feel in that Seattle backfield. But James White, Sony Michel, I hear what you're saying about him not catching the ball. And I get that.
I think that just limits his upside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, except for the fact that Mike Vrabel's his head coach, and they just want to pound the ball. He's that, you know, New England, you know, Matt Patricia type, let's just run the rock, slow the game down, and just give Derrick Henry the ball over and over and over again. I think a more modern NFL offense and a more modern, you know, forward-thinking NFL head coach would probably take Derrick Henry out of these games. Just having watched these guys play, plus they added Roger Saffold along the offensive line, who is, in my opinion, huge.
That's a good addition. If he can stay healthy, he's had trouble with that in the past.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But adding him along that offensive line to an already really good offensive line, by the way, Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, it's a really good O-line. I like Ben Jones too, but it's just, to me, I feel like that's what they want to do. They just want to run the ball. And in that fourth round range, there's not that many other guys that I look at and say, yeah, he's going to get guaranteed work. And I totally hear what you're saying in terms of the passing game. He's not going to get it. And I think they will mix in Deion Lewis every now and again as well. But Derrick Henry, to me, looks like a guy that's going to see north of 200 carries. And behind that offensive line, I think he can do a little bit of damage. And you know, to be honest with you, I think his touchdown, you know, range is actually pretty good as well. You know, I think I've got it penciled in anywhere between 7 and 9 touchdowns. And that's pretty good if you're from your fourth round running back to me.
I'm taking Chris Carson there. I mean, Chris Carson's going a lot later, so I'll definitely be able to get him. But Chris Carson's my guy. Let's move on to quarterbacks, and we'll each name one. But first, thanks again to CBS Sports HQ for supporting our show. CBS Sports HQ is a network that streams 24/7 and brings you top tier sports and fantasy coverage. From your initial draft prep all the way through championship week, fantasy experts on CBS Sports HQ provide you with helpful advice all season long. Get all the latest stats and injury updates, along with in-depth breakdowns and analysis. You also receive all the latest breaking news, highlights, previews, and recaps from all around the sports world. Whether you play in season-long or DFS formats, CBS Sports HQ gives you all the info you need to make the right choices for all your fantasy lineups. On top of all that, it's free for everybody. No trials or end dates. You don't even need a login. Watch anytime, anywhere from your phone or at home with Apple TV, Fire TV, or Roku. It couldn't be any easier. Download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. James, who do you have as overvalued at their ADP at the quarterback position?
It kills me to say Deshaun Watson. But Deshaun Watson.
Really? Interesting. Okay, let's go.
On Fantasy Football Calculator, he's going in the mid-fifth round, right? And he's going ahead of guys like Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan straight up had a better year than Deshaun Watson last year. You can get him around maybe even two rounds later than Deshaun Watson right now. So it's not an indictment on Deshaun Watson. It's more just an indictment on his price because people are, I think, overvaluing the splash plays. Matt Ryan, who, again, had 4,900 yards and 35 touchdowns last year. Aaron Rodgers, again, playing in a new scheme. He's got some decent weapons on the outside as well. I love, Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a secondary wide receiver behind Davante Adams. Baker Mayfield is in a terrific situation. You got to love his situation. He might have the most skill surrounding him among all the starting quarterbacks, plus Todd Monken there, Freddie Kitchens as his head coach, Todd Monken as his OC. Those are three guys right there that I would take ahead of Deshaun Watson.
You've got Mayfield ahead of Deshaun Watson then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Mayfield could absolutely go ham this year.
Here's what Mayfield did last year from the time he took over as the starter. Okay. He was on track. I'm prorating this to 16 games just to give you guys an idea. 570 attempts. Deshaun Watson threw the ball 505 times. Mayfield had 4,337 yards, 33 touchdowns, and now he's got Odell Beckham and a full season of Nick Chubb. Ooh, man, it's looking good. It is looking good. And, I was excited that you brought up Deshaun Watson because we haven't talked about him enough. Everybody's drafting him as their number two quarterback. I've even heard some people say number one over Mahomes. Now, I do like Watson's upside, but Kiki QT's already hurt. Will Fuller is still recovering from his ACL. That happened 9 months ago, guys. He's going to have DeAndre Hopkins and nothing. I guess they got Duke Johnson now. They've got no tight end, no wide receiver four. They don't pass to Lamar Miller at all. I think that Watson is going a little too high. I agree. I've got Aaron Rodgers 2, Matt Ryan 3. Matt Ryan's been the number one fantasy quarterback over the last 3 years. He plays 13 out of 16 games in the dome, and he dominates in the dome. Yeah, Watson's going too high for me. I agree.
Can I also say this? We talk about the coaching, and Deshaun Watson is not helped by his coaching at all. Bill O'Brien, to me, is one of the worst coaches in the NFL. Schematically, they do absolutely nothing to protect Deshaun Watson. He was sacked 62 GD times last year. That's the most in the NFL. Bill O'Brien is supposed to be this offensive-minded coach, and yet his offenses have finished 29th, 20th, and 15th in total yardage over the last three seasons. That's not good.
Yeah, they did nothing to change their offensive line either. I thought, hey, they're going to fix it, and Deshaun Watson's going to be awesome this year. But I don't know, guys. I'm hoping he lasts the whole season.
That's part of it for me. I mean, this guy is skipping flights because of a collapsed lung or whatever. I mean, he is such a tough guy. I just wonder how much that will impact his production. And again, if you think about Bill O'Brien's offense, they've basically been average with a dynamic stud quarterback and a dynamic stud wide receiver. And they have been an absolute joke and an abject disaster when he has not been in the lineup. 29th in total yards 3 years ago? That's horrendous. And so, yeah, I don't believe in Bill O'Brien. I think he's going to be on the hot seat. I worry for Deshaun Watson's health. And you just look at the other quarterbacks in that same range. They just have higher upside, in my opinion, and a much safer floor than Deshaun Watson. So mid-fifth, mid-fifth is okay, actually. But again, if you're taking him ahead of Baker Mayfield, ahead of Matt Ryan, who again outscored him last year, I think you're doing it wrong. So just the overall price to me, it's just too expensive.
Aaron Rodgers has always been a number one or number two fantasy quarterback in seasons he's been healthy. That's a lot of upside there. And Deshaun Watson's extraordinarily talented, but put him on Tampa Bay and he's a lot better. Houston, I'm not so sure. I've got him QB4. Okay, mine really quick is Russell Wilson. I've talked about this before. He threw 420-something pass attempts last year. that's going to go up, sure, but like he was QB9 last year with an extremely high touchdown rate, 8.2%. Going into last season, it was 5.8. You regress him back to his career average, we're looking at 25 passing touchdowns. He would have been the QB15. That's what I've got him, QB15. He barely ran the ball, by the way, more than Aaron Rodgers, who had a broken leg. So the running is not really part of it anymore. If you want to expect him to all of a sudden start running again he's turning 31 during the season, be my guest. I'm not doing it. I'm not relying on that touchdown rate or him throwing, 450 pass attempts, whatever it's going to be.
That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that low, but you're right. Pete Carroll is kind of going back to his roots. He wants to slow the game down. I think it's a lot of it has to do to just protect his defense. He doesn't have the dogs that he did with the Legion of Boom, and he's got to protect those guys a little bit. He's coaching them up. He's doing a good job coaching them up. But the bottom line is it's a low volume passing attack. And you're right. Russell Wilson is a guy that I'm just generally not going after because he's such a brand name. He's still going pretty high.
Yes, he is.
Hey, before you kick me out of here, can I give you one wide receiver? And I feel like this is my yearly PSA to people.
Yeah, let's do it.
But Julian Edelman continually gets overdrafted.
Yes. Thank you, James.
It doesn't make any sense to me. This guy's an early fourth round pick right now. He can't stay healthy. He's missed 13 games over his last 4 years. He's 33 years old, guys.
Yep.
That health factor's not getting better, okay? He's 33 years old. He's only topped 1,000 yards receiving in two out of his past 5 seasons.
He's not a red zone guy either.
He's not a red zone guy. So he's not a touchdown maker. He can't stay healthy. And he's not a yardage guy. Why are we taking this man in the fourth round?
He's really good in the playoffs, though, James. Don't you know? You know, he's being drafted right now as wide receiver 17. He's never been better than wide receiver 18 in his entire career. People are betting on him to do it as a 33-year-old. Come on, guys.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. And again, people are drafting him via situation and not actually looking at his stats and saying, oh, he's going to be Tom Brady's favorite target. No Gronk, and they're going to feed Julian Edelman more. No, they're not. No, they are not.
Best season of his career, the other wide receivers who led the team in targets, Danny Amendola, Aaron Dobson, Ken Burrell Tompkins. If you want to talk about a great situation for him to break out, it was back then. And how old was he? He was like, I don't know, 28, 29 years old in the prime of his career. He didn't do it then. Now they've got Josh Gordon. They're passing to James White like he's a wide receiver one. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think so.
N'Keal Harry is going to be there stealing goal line looks. I mean, you know, if Demaryius Thomas ever comes back and gets healthy, he's a player. I mean, you know, they got that kid Jacoby Myers who was making a lot of plays in the preseason. So I actually don't think they have a dearth of talent at wide receiver, especially with Josh Gordon coming back. And I just don't think Julian Edelman, even if the wide receiving core was bad, selecting a slot receiver who can't stay healthy at 33 years old in the early fourth round is just madness. It's madness. Stop doing that.
It's like when everyone was drafting Chris Hogan in that range last year.
Exactly. It's crazy. Just don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, look at the guys that are going around him. Marlon Mack, I'd rather have. All the Rams receivers, I'd rather have. Chris Godwin. Give me Chris Godwin ahead of Julian Edelman. Derrick Henry, Phillip Lindsay, Sony Michel. All these dudes I would rather have than Julian Edelman. I think he should be dropping two or three rounds. If he was there in the seventh, I think it's a decent draft pick. But fourth? Get out of here. There's no way in hell I'm touching Julian Edelman at that ADP.
I'll tell you what, James, I really loved your opinions on this show, and it's always a blast to talk to you. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, anytime, guys. It's always a pleasure.
All right, guys, and I just wanted to say, if Tags was on the show, he definitely would have said Big Ben is being drafted too early, and even Patrick Mahomes going to the second, early third round would be too early for Tags. Now we're going to move on over to wide receiver, and it's a good transition because James brought up Julian Edelman, and now we're joined by Jared Smola of Draft Sharks, and he's on Twitter at S-M-O-L-A-D-S. First, though, I want to tell you guys, we've got a new podcast. It's with our other site, Betting Pros. And this podcast is hosted by a friend of the show. In fact, he hosts the Sunday night podcast that we're going to be doing during the season. It's Dan Harris. You can follow him on Twitter at DanHarris80. You're going to love Dan. If you haven't heard him before, he is hilarious and he's got all kinds of great analytics. Dan's doing a great job already over there on the Betting Pros podcast. You can find it at bettingpros.com/podcast. Hey, Jared, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Busy time of year, as I'm sure you know, but happy to join you here.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been looking forward to this episode because we're talking about guys who are being drafted too high and players you might regret drafting at their ADP. Now, we already talked about quarterbacks and running backs, and James Coe started us off saying Julian Edelman. He was going to be on my list. I've got three others. I see that you've got four wide receivers to talk about, so let's jump right into it. Who do you have as your first one?
My first one's Antonio Brown, and I know that, you know, the news that, you know, we just got today is that he was on the practice field for the Raiders with a certified helmet. So, you know, maybe the whole helmet thing is behind us now. It sounds like, you know, the
frostbite's not, though.
Yeah, the frost. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, it sounds like he's getting over that. But I don't know, this whole situation just sort of stinks to me. I just sort of don't want anything to do with it. We'll see what happens with this Raiders offense. I have questions about Derek Carr, questions how Antonio Brown's going to fare. We've really never seen the guy perform with a quarterback other than Ben Roethlisberger. So I don't think not drafting Antonio Brown at the, you know, 2-3 turn is going to hurt fantasy teams. But I think, you know, taking him there is definitely risky, and it could end up biting you.
So who are you drafting over Antonio Brown then? Like, are you taking Brandon Cooks, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, T.Y. Hilton?
Allen, Diggs, Hilton, just at wide receiver. But, you know, especially in the third round, I'm usually taking a running back there, like a Kerryon Johnson or a Devontae Freeman.
Okay. Yeah, we just talked about Kerryon Johnson. That was one of the guys that I'm avoiding. Did you see he wasn't playing at all on third downs? Does that concern you at all, Jared?
I did, and it definitely concerns me. It's something I'm going to be watching in the third preseason game here. Because, I mean, the biggest thing working in his favor, you know, what I was excited about was the departure of Theo Riddick and what that meant for Johnson's pass-catching upside. But if he's going to be off the field on third downs, it's definitely, you know, something that's going to hurt him and would probably drop him.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of they realize that Ty Johnson is just the man and that they don't need Theo Riddick because of that. I didn't really consider that it might be for Kerryon Johnson just because Kerryon Johnson told us before he doesn't think he's a three-down back. Now, if he was a three-down back, sure, I'd love him. But at his ADP right now, I can't quite do it. Freeman in the third round, though, that'd be a solid addition. I think he's got a lot of upside there if he can stay healthy. Now, my first name, by the way, I agree on Antonio Brown. I won't really have any shares just because, you know, you can get Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen would be my favorite. Well, if Mike Evans is there, I'd take him over Thielen. But I would definitely prefer Adam Thielen over Antonio Brown. Now, my first name, I've talked about him quite a bit before, is Tyler Lockett. I mean, I can understand the logic that a lot of people have in saying Tyler Lockett as the wide receiver 22. I can't really make that leap, though. We're either requiring him to continue this absolutely absurd one touchdown per seven target pace, or we're expecting him to take a big jump in targets. Now, we've seen him in the NFL for 4 years, and he's never topped 4.4 targets per game. Now, you would think when Doug Baldwin was out last year, Tyler Lockett, if he was going to be the wide receiver one, would have led this team in targets, but it wasn't him. It was Brandon Marshall, guys. I don't think Tyler Lockett can be that, you know, alpha dog, target hog, like everyone is expecting him to be. Yeah, he's moving into the slot where Doug Baldwin excelled, but Tyler Lockett's just a different animal. I don't think that he's going to get more than 90, 95 targets, and that just won't be enough to justify drafting him at wide receiver 22. Do you agree or disagree, Jared?
You know, I started the summer lower than ADP on Lockett, but I've honestly come up on him where I think he's kind of fairly priced now. There was a great audio clip from Brock Heward, who is a former NFL quarterback and does Seahawks radio now. And he was basically saying, you know, in all of his time covering the Seahawks, I think it's been like 10 or 11 years, he hasn't seen one player featured on offense during training camp like Tyler Lockett was this summer. So yeah, that kind of excited me. And then I thought Lockett looked good and got some nice usage in that second preseason game against the Vikings. So I've definitely come up on him a little bit.
Yeah, and now DK Metcalf is hurt as well. This just makes me excited for my guy David Moore. Now, I have moved Lockett up a little bit in the past few weeks, but I've still got him down around wide receiver 29. So a full round and a half, almost two rounds lower than his ADP right now. Now, who do you have at number two, Jared?
My second guy I'm sort of avoiding at wide receiver is Kenny Galladay. He's at wide receiver 19 in the half PPR consensus rankings at Fantasy Pros. I think with Galladay, you have to split his 2018 up into two parts. There was, you know, the first part of the season with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate there, and the second part of the season with neither of those guys in the picture. Tate was obviously traded away. Marvin Jones was hurt.
What wasn't Bruce Ellington getting a bunch of targets? Like, that was the guy he was competing with.
Exactly. So, and Galladay saw 30% of the Lions' targets over his final six games. It was 9.7 targets per game. And he was wide receiver 17 in PPR points during that stretch.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yep. But over the first nine games, and, you know, all of those were with Marvin Jones. Seven of those were with Golden Tate. Galladay saw just 18% of the Lions' targets, 6.8 targets per game, and he scored as the wide receiver 30 over that stretch. So, you know, I think he'll come in somewhere between that 18% target share and that 30% target share. But I think, you know, wide receiver 19 on this Lions' offense, that, you know, we're not really excited about the passing game with Darrell Bevell there. He likes to run the ball quite a bit. So I think Galladay is priced basically at his ceiling, maybe even above it at this point.
So after you get behind Robert Woods and Chris Godwin, who do you have as that number 18 wide receiver? Because it's just, there's such a big drop off, and that's where a lot of people have Kenny Galladay. Now, I'm with you. I've got him a lot lower. I've got him as my wide receiver 24, but who do you have in that range that you'd rather take?
Yeah, so you mentioned the two Rams guys, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks. I have Chris Godwin. I have DJ Moore ahead of Kenny Galladay still. I even have Tyler Boyd actually ranked one spot ahead of Galladay at this point.
Yeah, I could see that with AJ Green being out. Now I've got Boyd a little bit lower, but it's definitely a possibility. I think that there's a big tier here from this range. You know, wide receiver 18 all the way down to about wide receiver 33. I don't see much of a difference. So I would rather just wait in that round four, round five, and draft running backs there.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Robert Woods and Chris Godwin are really the only two guys I'm super excited to land in round four. Besides that, I'll just wait on the position until round five or six.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where the tight ends are going too. If you want OJ Howard or Hunter Henry, got to take him in the late fourth or fifth round in Hunter Henry's case. All right, guys, before we move on over to the next one, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Fantasy Draft. It's the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business. They've partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% or more of your entry fees to fantasy companies are over. No longer are you going to lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of the entry fees paid out to contest winners 100% of the time. To access all of Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, including that Hooters $1 million kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss your shot at this incredible $1 million rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize. Now, my second is, it was going to be Julian Edelman. Now, since James stole that, I'm going to move on to my number three. It's Will Fuller of the Houston Texans, and it's not that I don't like Fuller's talent. I just think that it's too crowded for him to get enough targets to really justify his ADP, because when Kiki QT was on the field, he got a target in 16% of his snaps. DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, is down at 14%, and Fuller just at 12%. Now, obviously, Hopkins is going to be the number one, but I think this means Fuller is the number three in an offense that passed the ball just 505 times last year. And meanwhile, Will Fuller, I don't think he's going to be ready for week one. I'm not sure when he will be ready. Like I just mentioned, he tore his ACL just 9 months ago. That's not long enough for him to really be 100%. He might not have full mobility until week 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's fair. I could see Fuller having a better second half of the season than first half. We'll see. It seems to me like he's on track for week one. Kiki QT obviously has that ankle injury, so I think he's maybe iffy for week one, which would make Fuller a bit more interesting. I think that the spot to draft Will Fuller is in your best ball leagues, because I do think he's going to have some big spiked weeks. But yeah, there's going to be other weeks where he only sees 3 or 4 targets in this offense.
So right now he's going wide receiver 30 ahead of Allen Robinson, Christian Kirk, Dante Pettis, Marvin Jones, Curtis Samuel, Corey Davis, wide receiver 38. Would you rather have a couple of those guys than Will Fuller?
Yeah, a couple of those guys. I mean, Allen Robinson is the one that sticks out for me. I mean, I think he's a big talent and is still the clear number one wide receiver in Chicago. So definitely taking Robinson over Fuller.
I would even go Geronimo Allison, who's a little bit further down as well. Okay, so I wanted to mention a couple of tags, guys. He would have had Julian Edelman for sure, just because he's not on the show and can't speak for himself. But these are the guys he's been talking about all offseason as, they're just too high for ADP. So Julian Edelman, D.D. Westbrook, Emmanuel Sanders. Do you disagree with either of those?
Yeah, I mean, what's the argument against Julian Edelman, I guess? Because, I mean, he was like a top 15 wide receiver after he returned last season.
Yeah, the argument is Josh Gordon is coming back. They're not throwing the ball quite as much. He's never been a top 18 wide receiver in his whole career, injury prone. He's now 33 years old.
Yeah, the injury stuff is a valid concern. Like you said, he's older now, but I still think when he's on the field, he's going to produce as a higher end wide receiver too in PPR. I know even during Josh Gordon's 11 games with the Patriots last season, Edelman scored as the wide receiver 15 in PPR points over that stretch.
Wow, that's pretty good. All right, so who do you have at your number three wide receiver that you want to avoid at ADP?
Calvin Ridley for me. And I was definitely in the anti-Ridley crowd last year when he came out of Alabama.
Wow, okay.
I have to admit that his rookie season was impressive, and it looks like he's going to have a better NFL career than I originally thought, but I still think he's overvalued at his consensus wide receiver 25 ranking on Fantasy Pros. I'm a big believer in volume, and I just don't think Ridley's going to get enough of it to be a good bet to pay off there. Last year, he ranked just 39th among wide receivers with 92 targets. I don't think that's going to climb significantly with Julio Jones still around hogging targets, Austin Hooper's back, Mohamed Sanu. I know, you know, people like to ignore Mohamed Sanu, but he's not going away. And then beyond that, Calvin Ridley in for some definite touchdown regression after scoring on 10 of his 64 catches last year. That was a huge 15.6% touchdown rate. That's really not sustainable.
I love that you're saying Calvin Ridley, because I've got the bet going on against Tags, and he has Calvin Ridley. Now, I like Calvin Ridley at his ADP. I've got him 24. You said his consensus ADP is 25. I like his upside, but the thing is, last year he only played 61% of snaps. He was the number three receiver in this offense. I know he's good. He scored a lot in the red zone. He's got, you know, good body control. So I think he will be a strong red zone receiver, but I'm not sure. He might still be the wide receiver three in this offense. And Austin Hooper had like 70 receptions too. Devontae Freeman's healthy. If you love all these guys, Matt Ryan should be your fantasy quarterback one.
Yeah, exactly. I have Ridley down at wide receiver 33.
My number three guy here is Robbie Anderson. And it's not so much against Robbie Anderson as much as it is just the situation that he's in. Right now, he's wide receiver 30 in consensus ADP. He's playing with Sam Darnold. And if you look at Sam Darnold, sure, he was good at the end of the season. But let's not forget, I mean, you can look at Ryan Tannehill's career stats. Ryan Tannehill has never had a season as bad as Sam Darnold just did. I already mentioned earlier with Le'Veon Bell, the Jets have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. And then Robbie Anderson's the clear-cut wide receiver one there on the outside, which means that whenever they're facing cover corners, and there's like 10 of them in the NFL, he's going to be the guy that is shadowed and shut down. And he actually has the single hardest cover corner schedule in the NFL this season. I think that Sam Darnold, who's shown that he loves to pass to guys in the slot over the middle of the field, is going to love Jamison Crowder this year. And Robbie Anderson's going to be, you know, just overlooked a little bit.
Yeah, I can't say I've drafted much Robbie Anderson, so I think I'm with you here. I think he's a bit overvalued at ADP. I'll say that the Jets offense, and Darnold in particular, has looked really good this preseason. So I'm definitely, you know, willing to maybe come up on these guys a little bit. But like you said, I would much rather draft Jamison Crowder in, you know, round 13 or 14 than spend a sixth or seventh round pick on Robbie Anderson.
Okay, so let's move on over to the tight end position. You've got two. I've got one, and I'll bring up Tags as well, because I think that he is overvalued. So who's your first one?
Yeah, my first one's Delanie Walker at tight end 12. And he did, you know, appear in that second preseason game and actually scored a touchdown from Marcus Mariota. So, you know, maybe I should come up on him a little bit. But my thing with Walker is just the fact that he's 35 years old now, and we've rarely seen a 35-year-old tight end, you know, produce in fantasy. There's actually only been 10 seasons in NFL history of 90-plus PPR points by a tight end 35 years or older, and three of those came from Tony Gonzalez. Two of them came from Antonio Gates. You know, Delanie Walker's a good tight end, but he's not at those guys' level. So it's just a bet I'm going to make against him at that age.
Much different offenses, much different talent level. He's also been away from the game for a full year. We're talking about someone who's 35 years old. I mean, the game's hard when you get 26 years old. He's a full decade older than that. So, yeah, I agree. I've got delay. I didn't realize he was being drafted as the number 12 tight end. I've got him down as my number 16 tight end. I'd rather have Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham. Give me a lottery ticket there. Let's see what happens. Maybe even Jack Doyle, who I think has a shot. And this is my first tight end that I'm avoiding at ADP. It's his teammate, Eric Ebron. I mean, I've mentioned this stat before, and I'm going to say it again. Even after Ebron performed at a high level, Doyle came back in the second half for three games. He outsnapped Ebron 157-63. He also had an 18-12 target advantage. So I'm not even sure Eric Ebron's going to start. And we know he's going to regress in touchdowns. Obviously, he's not going to be the tight end number four again, but I've got Eric Ebron as my tight end number 10, and I'd be willing to take a chance on Jack Doyle because I think he might be the starter in Andrew Luck's offense.
Yep, I have Ebron at tight end 10 too, so I'm right with you. Like you said, touchdown regression's coming. He has to worry about Jack Doyle coming back, and he has to worry about Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell getting added to the mix. So I think we're going to see, you know, a higher percentage of Colts targets go to the wide receivers this year than we did last year.
And beat writers are really excited about Mo Alie-Cox. And I want to say his ADP right now, Eric Ebron, is tight end 8. I've got him at 10, so that doesn't seem like a ton, but his ADP overall is 74. I wouldn't take him until the 11th round, so pick, you know, what is it, 125? That's 50 picks later. So it is a big difference. If you're not getting one of those top six tight ends, I would just wait and take a flyer on Austin Hooper. I would take a flyer on, you're not going to get Vance McDonald that late, but I don't mind him. David Njoku's got some upside. And then I mentioned the other guys, Jimmy Graham, Jordan Reed. Who do you like later if you're not drafting, you know, one of these guys you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth round.
Yeah, Austin Hooper is my favorite, like, PPR tight end when you get into the double-digit rounds. Yeah, I think he finished as tight end six last year in PPR. I don't think a lot of people realize that. And then my other guy is Jordan Reed. I'm always a sucker for Jordan Reed. You know, he's...
For good reason. He's great when he's on the field. And if he's not, so what? You cut him and you stream like everybody else.
Exactly. You know, for the 12, 13 games he gives you, he's going to be a tight end one this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. So who's the other tight end that you're avoiding then?
Mark Andrews for me, and he's at tight end 15. I like the player. I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. I watched him a ton in Oklahoma, so I saw Mark Andrews a lot in 2017, and you know he was a great player for Oklahoma. I've read all the glowing reports from training camp about Mark Andrews over the last month now, but it's really just a situation thing here. I just don't think he's going to get enough volume to pay off. You know, the Ravens are going to finish near the bottom of the league in pass attempts, and really this is a three-man tight end committee in Baltimore with Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, and Hayden Hurst. Through the Ravens' first two preseason games now, Mark Andrews has only been on the field for about 31% of the Ravens' offensive snaps, and he hasn't seen a single target yet. So that's definitely worrisome.
Yeah, that is not going to cut it. In fact, I saw your tweet about that, and that's when I moved him way down my rankings. I was starting to buy into the hype a little bit. Like, sure, okay, if they're saying he's this good, they don't really have a wide receiver one, so maybe Mark Andrews can lead this team in targets. But in Lamar Jackson, what's he going to complete? 12, 13 passes a game. I mean, that's who he is. Let's say Mark Andrews catches 64 balls. He would have to have a 27% target share to do that. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen.
No, I agree.
Okay, and Jared, the other guy I want to talk about is also named Jared. It's Jared Cook, and he's another one of these guys going in that eighth round. And the reason I don't like Jared Cook, yeah, he was good last year, but he was good like Evan Ingram's rookie year because he had so many targets. He had no competition for targets. Evan Ingram was good because Odell Beckham was hurt, Sterling Shepard was hurt, Brandon Marshall was hurt. They were starting Roger Lewis on the outside, so of course Ingram is going to get a lot of targets. And you know what? He was extremely inefficient. Jared Cook got a ton of targets last year because Jordy Nelson and Marcel Aitman were leading the team in targets. Jalen Richard, he's going to New Orleans with Michael Thomas. They don't even pass the ball as much. Drew Brees threw the ball almost 100 times less than Derek Carr last year. I just don't think Cook is going to get anywhere near the same target share.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you on Cook. Not a guy I've taken a ton of. I mean, I would say I'd rather have Jared Cook than Eric Ebron, and they tend to go in, you know, those similar spots of drafts. But yeah, I mean, Michael Thomas, the clear lead dog in that passing game. Alvin Kamara is going to play a big role. I do think Cook, you know, could have the most efficient season of his career just because he's playing with Drew Brees, you know, the best quarterback he's ever played with. So for me, he's sort of okay at his price tag, but again, I'd still rather wait and take someone like Austin Hooper.
Yep, I agree with that. Austin Hooper is definitely my target if I don't get one of those top guys. Now, I'm not going to reach for him, but I'd be thrilled if he fell to me in the 12th round. Otherwise, I'm just going to go streamer, you know, or go high upside with one of those guys, Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham. Now, I've got to ask you before we let you off the podcast, Jared, a lot of people listening to this show, not the guys who have been around for 3 months and listening. I know you guys already know that, so forgive me. But there are a lot of people who are listening to this show who haven't been playing fantasy football for very long, or maybe they haven't thought about this very much. So, Jared, would you explain why I would imagine you're waiting to draft a defense until the very last round instead of taking the Bears in the 8th, 9th, 13th round?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, it's a tough position to project at this point, you know, in the preseason. Last year, we all thought the Jaguars were, you know, the elite fantasy defense, and they were a big disappointment. Beyond that, though, the difference between the top defense and the 15th best defense is not that big. And on a week-to-week basis, we're really looking at matchups. We want to start our defenses against bad quarterbacks, bad offensive lines. So you're much better off just working the waiver wire throughout the season rather than spending, you know, an eighth-round pick on the Bears and you know, using them every week.
So I've been tracking this for a while, and I've got a stat for you guys. In the last 6 years, if you take the most picked-up defense, so the top streamer, the defense that's picked up and plugged into a lineup, if you take their fantasy points all combined, each of the last 6 years, they did better combined than the number one drafted DST. The number one drafted DST has finished number 20, 14, 12, 5, 14, and 16. That's not very good, guys, so you might as well just stream.
Yep, that's an awesome stat.
All right, Jared, and that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, as always. Take care. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, CBS Sports HQ. Thank you for supporting our show. To watch anytime from anywhere, you can download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. Thanks also to Pristine Auction, where you can choose from hundreds, even thousands of items to bid on daily. There's always going to be great values to find, and everything's guaranteed authentic from the most trusted sources. That's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com, and make sure to use that registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $5 off. And don't forget the Alvin Kamara helmet giveaway. Entering is simple, and it can be done in a couple minutes. Just head on over to fantasypros.com/contest for more details. And thanks also to Fantasy Draft, where you can have your shot at the incredible $1 million rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize if you go to fantasydraft.com and get a free 7-day trial using the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. For James Coe and Jared Smola, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.